We are Daniel chapter 2, if you would turn there in your Bible. You can join me. We are going to be talking about a rather famous section of Scripture today, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I'm going to read the actual interpretation, starting with verse 29, and then we'll go back and take a look at how we get there. That sound good? Well, we're going to do it anyway, even if it doesn't sound good, but we're going to do that. All right, praise the Lord. All right, we're going to start at verse 29, and this is the interpretation that the Lord gives Daniel for the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And he says, yeah, fix me, thank you, bro. Verse 29 of Daniel, as you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come. Let me start this over. Do me a favor, just mute the other mics, bro. I think I'm getting picked up on those. Thank you, bro. Yes, oh yeah, that's it. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries. Aren't you glad that we got a revealer of mysteries today? Can I get a witness on that? The revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. And as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you might understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. And the head of the statue was made of pure gold. And its chest and arms were of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. And the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Lord, we thank you that we have a rock that is not fashioned by human hands, Lord, a rock that we can put our faith and our trust in, Lord. Lord, we come in here this morning, Lord, and there are challenges that beset us, Lord. The lies of the enemy, the lies of this world beset us, Lord. And Lord, we seek truth this morning. As Nebuchadnezzar, you put a burden and a hunger for truth in his heart, Lord, and that we are here this morning, Lord, that we might indeed hear from you, Lord. Glorify you, Lord, that you would be the revealer of truth, Lord, that you expose the lies around us, Lord, just like an alarm would go off, Lord, like sirens would go off, Lord. Lord, that those sirens and alarms would go off in us and say something is not right, Lord, that we need to put our eyes and our hearts on truth this morning, Lord, and our lives on truth every day, Lord, as Aaron said, to be in the Word, Lord, to be transformed, to be renewed in our mind, Lord. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Might get a little bit fired up today. I don't know, folks. But anyway, we are going to go a little bit late. I'm starting 15 minutes late, and we got communion at the end. So forgive me, but sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Amen?
Amen?
Hey, when emergencies happen, anybody got emergencies in their home? Anybody got issues in their homes? Yeah? When emergencies happen, you have got to respond. On Friday, we had a little emergency around here. Pastor Dave made it known. We were getting ready to do the food distribution, and Pastor Dave was pulling something out of the freezer, and he comes walking up to me and says, Pastor Bob, the freezer's busted. How many of you ladies know when the freezer is busted, that is an emergency? Can I get a witness on that? And I mean, we had that freezer. You guys seen that freezer big downstairs, big old freezer, commercial freezer, and it was warmer than the fridge. It was warmer than the air outside. And all of a sudden, we had a big problem. And Mike and Jimmy and Pastor Dave took all that stuff out of that freezer, shuttled it across the street over to Elsie and Aaron's chest freezers that they got over there, and was able to save all that stuff. But I tell you what, man, sometimes there is emergencies that happen, and you just have to respond. Can I get a witness on that? Hey, if you got a phone, turn it off, please. We don't want to have any emergencies there. Oh, I think that's a crying baby alarm. There, okay, there we go. Yes. We are in the second in our series on victory in the midst of defeat. And we study the Old Testament. And Daniel prophesies toward the end, or maybe middle end, of the Old Testament. And this, he prophesies about 600 years before Christ. And as you read the Old Testament, you get a constant theme as God speaks to his children. The theme is, the message from God is, that when you put your eyes on me, when you put your focus on me, things will go well. Have you found that to be true? Amen? And the message is also that when you get distracted, when you get your eyes on something else, when you lose your focus on me, things will go poorly. Can I get a witness on that? You found that to be true. Amen? Amen. We read this part of the story, and we see that God's people, indeed his children, have lost sight of him. They have lost focus on him, and because of that, God is trying to get their attention. God is trying to shake them up. And so 605 B.C., which is called 600 B.C., I don't want to mess with you a bunch of dates today, so I'm going to round some dates off for you. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Okay. You want the real dates? Come to me after. I'll get you the real dates, but they're within a couple of years. 600 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar comes, lays siege to Jerusalem, and takes Daniel, the four or three friends that he's got, and he's got, and he takes much of the nobility, much of the smartest people of Jerusalem, and says, I'm tired of you guys. I'm going to take you. Now, somebody came into your home and took somebody out of there and said, I'm trying to teach you a lesson, that would kind of resonate. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Didn't resonate with God's people. Send Daniel and all these people out, take them off into Babylon, started the Babylonian captivity. 70 years. God said, my people are going to be taken into captivity 70 years to get this message. They weren't getting it. So 5 years later, okay, he takes another group, the next cut of the top of their culture, and says, would you guys get this message? Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm tired of you messing around with me, but it's really they haven't got their eyes on God. Amen? Amen? God says, hey, we're going to take another batch. Take them off to captivity. Still, God's people not getting the message. 10 years after that, 587 B.C., Babylonians lay siege to Jerusalem and destroy it. God says, I'm tired. They destroy the temple. The temple had become a place of idol worship, a place not to gain focus on God, but to lose focus on God. But God is not done with his people. He is still sending messages to them while they're in captivity. Hence the book of Daniel. God's continued messages to his people. Put your focus on me. Don't buy the lie. I will reveal truth to you because I don't want you to die in a lie. The title of today's message is called Exposing the Lie. Have I got your attention?
Amen.
Amen. All right, exposing the lie. In the second year of his reign, okay? Now, we read about Nebuchadnezzar taking Daniel before he's even king. He was off on the road. He was out conquering kingdoms, and his dad died back in Babylon, okay? So he gets back, and he begins his reign. In the second year of his reign, so Daniel and the boys, so to speak, and he's a boy too, are in captivity. Why? Because training for the king's table takes 3 years. Second year, they're still in king training. Right? In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. How many of you have troubles in your life and are looking for answers? Amen? Amen. Nebuchadnezzar is troubled. He's troubled by his dreams. He is looking for answers, and there is trouble in the palace. There is trouble in the palace, and it is there because God put it there. God is shaking up the king. And this is the guy that has conquered all of Egypt, all of Palestine, all of basically modern-day Iraq. He's a pretty big king. And God says, you know what? I don't care how big of a king you are. I'm going to come right into your bedroom. I'm going to send you a message. I'll tell you what, man. Remember a little kid worried about that monster underneath your bed? You know? It's like, whoa, I'm a little bit afraid. Nebuchadnezzar was afraid. He was afraid because of the dream that I told you about. He didn't know what it meant. And he is seeking for truth. Now, God spoke, sent a message in a dream. God does that. God works in dreams, amen? He did it before. He did it to Pharaoh. Back in Genesis chapter 41, this is, how long? 1,500 years before Daniel's time, okay? And he says, Pharaoh said to Joseph, Pharaoh had a dream. I'm freaking out, Joseph. Nobody can interpret my dream. He says, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. And you know what? God messes with kings. Can I get a witness on it? Because Pharaoh was the biggest king around too, and he's shaking him up. And now he's got Nebuchadnezzar, he's shaking him up. And God shakes up the world through what? Through dreams. Can I get a witness on that? He says, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, that Peter quoted on the day of Pentecost. He says, afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Are you a person today? If you're a person, put your hand up. All right. Praise the Lord. He says, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all people. You qualify. You qualify. Can I get a witness on that? Thank you very much. He says, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. God works through dreams. God works through his spirit. And he's still pouring out his spirit today. Amen? So you come in here today to get a message of hope, to be transformed in your life, to be healed, to have situations changed. Why? Because God is pouring out his spirit. Amen? Amen. All right. B, Nebuchadnezzar is desperate. Some of you folks come in here today, and there is a level of desperation in your life. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters. Sometimes, can I get a witness? We go the wrong way when we're desperate. We head the wrong direction. And that is what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. He summons the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. And when they came in, they stood before the king and said, we're cool with this. This is our job. We're getting paid. Tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it. And he says, I've had a dream that troubles me. I want to know what it means. And he says, the king replied, down here, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have decided. No, I didn't say that. He said, this is what I have firmly decided. I'm not budging off this. He said, I want you guys to tell me the interpretation of the dream, and I want you to tell me the dream. Can you guys imagine an extra level of difficulty in that? Amen? I mean, they're used to, this is what the statue means, this is what this means. But when you don't even know what the dream is about, I'll tell you what. You're taking your life in your hands. And that's what those astrologers knew. He says, and you know what else I firmly decided? That if you can't tell me the dream, I'm going to kill you. Oh, thanks, king. And I'm going to take and turn your houses into piles of rubble. That's rather extreme. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. You know what? Nebuchadnezzar is not messing around. Nebuchadnezzar is desperate. He wants to know what is going on with his dream. He pulls in all these guys. And I'll tell you what. The sorcerers, the enchanters, the astrologers, the magicians. They're tied into something, folks. There is a supernatural power that is not of God that is on this planet. Amen? And there are those folks around us today, man, that will tie into that power, into the demonic realm. Channelers and sorcerers and magicians. And you know, I tell you, they got movies about them, and it's kind of like it's becoming okay in our culture. And Nebuchadnezzar comes up with a way. He says, okay, I know you guys got some jazz here. But he comes up with a way to determine how powerful they really are. Because I tell you what, folks, there is a demonic realm out there. There is an evil realm out there. But the power that is available in that realm comes nowhere near what is available through us, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that if you, and the Bible also says that you have not inherited a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. And I tell you what, the enemy would bring attack, and the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to run away. Can I get a witness on that, folks? And I tell you today that if the enemy is attacking you, that you have defenses, supernatural defenses, that blow him right out of the water. That the contest is not even close. Amen? Yeah. See, we cannot buy the lie. The Lord says, I want to reveal truth to you. And the truth is that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus today. Amen? Yeah. So that if there is the enemy coming at you, just kick him right out of your house. Yeah. And there's probably some other things you need to kick out of your house, too, to not let him back in. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be, whoa, watch out now. Watch out, Pastor. What are you doing in my house? The Lord speaks to his children. I'll tell you what, and these astrologers, they're not stupid. Verse 10. The astrologers answered the king. He says, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And the astrologers said, what you're asking us is impossible, king. Says, there is not a man on earth that can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. And these guys are half right and half wrong. Because there is no one on this planet that can get that done. But the Spirit of the Lord still lives among us. Amen? And that by His Spirit, Daniel gets an interpretation. By His Spirit, the Lord still speaks to our hearts today. Amen? Yesterday, men's breakfast, 10, 11, 12 guys, something like that. And if you're a man, you went to that breakfast station, put your hand up, if you would. And you can ask, you cook, bro. I know you were there. They had Bible study at breakfast at 7:30 every Saturday. You can join them. At the end of their time, do a Bible study for an hour. And a prophecy. Bible says, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And at the end of their time together, a prophecy came forward. And the Lord spoke through this man and said, I am offering life to someone in this room. And he is telling me no. The Lord will expose the lie. He does not want you to die in a lie. He wants you to live in truth. So he exposes the lies that we live in, and he reveals truth so we can move from death to life. He said yesterday, right here, right downstairs, God's speaking. 10 guys. He cares about you, amen? And he said, he spoke in the group of 10 to one guy. I am offering life to someone here this morning, and you are telling me no. God didn't want you to live in that lie. God will reveal truth. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. All right, point number 2. Are we okay today, by the way? We're tracking? All right. God makes opportunities for faith. I'll tell you what, he's shaking up his people. He'll destroy the temple to get his attention of his people. Amen? He is shaking up this king, and he gives an opportunity for faith. And in response, Nebuchadnezzar makes a time to kill. He says, this made the king. This is right on. He said, hey, nobody can do this. The gods don't live among men. And it made Nebuchadnezzar so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued, put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends. They're saying, we're getting ripped off here, man. We didn't even get a shot. It says, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Would you say wisdom for me, please?
Wisdom.
Would you say tact for me, please?
Tact.
Yes. With wisdom and tact, Daniel spoke to him and asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? And Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. And at this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Nebuchadnezzar made a time to kill. The pros have failed. The enchanters, the sorcerers, the magicians, they couldn't keep the lie alive. They failed. They could not finagle Nebuchadnezzar anymore. And I'll tell you what today, folks, we are surrounded by lies. And there's a bunch of folks that will gain because of the lie that you are buying in your life. And so they have a motive to keep you deceived. Amen? Anybody lived in deceit before? You know what? And because God does not want you deceived, God does not want you to lose, he's going to expose that and he's going to reveal truth to you so that you can move out of the lie and into truth. And in the midst of all this, Daniel's looking for an opportunity. He's saying, hey, I got the ability, I've got the gift to be able to interpret dreams. It says right here, he says, chapter 1, verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and to Daniel could understand visions and all kinds of dreams. He's saying, give me a shot. I got a dream, I'm an interpreter of dreams. Now, how does he get in to see the king? Through wisdom and tact. Wasn't magic. Sometimes we want God to do magic for us. God, just handle all my issues. Right? Can you do some magic? God, you know, God works with supernatural power. But isn't hop to sometimes like we want him to? Daniel used wisdom and tact. He had the gift of what? Knowledge and understanding. You know? God said, you know what? I put a head on your shoulders. And I'm expecting you to use it. Can I get a witness from somebody there? You know? It's like, hey, go to the guy. And I'll tell you, he goes to see the king. How does he get in to see the king? Here's this guy. He's a Jew in training. How does he get in? Well, God is hooking him up. God sends the dream. God sends the interpreter. Guess what? God's going to hook them up. Can I get a witness on that? Kind of makes sense, right? Now, as you begin to walk in obedience to the plan of God, there is stuff that God is going to do for you. But on the way, God's not doesn't want you to ask him to do everything for you. He said, look, I have given you wisdom. I want you to learn how to use some tact. I want you to develop some social skills. I'm putting you in a community of believers. And I tell you what, we got to be able to speak into one another's lives. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes, and you see somebody who's got an issue, you might, in wisdom and in tact, learn how to speak to that person. And what happens? Our whole body begins to grow up. Now, sometimes you get to the end of yourself. And you got to have God step in. Amen. What does God want from you? What does God want you to do? How has God gifted you, and what is God expecting you to do? Some of you, Julie talked about, hey, we need some teachers. For some of you, God's saying, you know what? I've called you to teach, and you've been too afraid. Time to step out. Because I want to use you in my kingdom. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Daniel's different. Daniel makes time to pray. Nebuchadnezzar makes a time to kill. Daniel makes a time to pray. Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He said, guys, we got a shot. When you come against challenges in your life, do you view them as opportunities for the Lord to be magnificent and awesome? Do you look at them as opportunities, or do you look at them as situations where you will suffer defeat? Because I hope. See, I'm thinking Daniel came home and said, whoa, we're going to seek God's face and we're going to see God do a mighty miracle. Amen? You believe in God can do a mighty miracle in your life? Amen? Amen? Yeah. He says, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel and his friends needed some help from the Lord. They needed the dream. Now, Daniel's got the ability to interpret that dream, but he hadn't got the ability to get the dream. Amen? Amen? And he comes to the Lord. in prayer and he says, Lord, I have done all that I can do. He says, Lord, I have come to the end of myself. I have talked to the king of the chief of the guards. I have talked to the king, and I have an opportunity, but I have come to the end of myself. Lord, I need you to come through for me today. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. And I'm telling you, that is a great place to start to pray. Because as you are walking with the Lord, as you are walking with the Lord, he will give you gifts. He will give you abilities. And as you are walking through the plan of God, you will come to the end. You will come to the end of those gifts. And you will come to the end of those abilities. And when you come to the end, say, Lord, I have done all that I can do. And there's two things that are going to happen at that point. He is either going to give you some more gifts or some more abilities to keep you going, or he's going to start to carry you. Can I get a witness on that? That is a great place for us to begin to seek the Lord's face. I have used the gifts that you have given me. And the Lord says, I know. I've been watching you all along. I haven't forgot about you. My eyes are upon you. They needed some special help from God. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today and you need special help from God. Maybe you're here today and you are right up against it. You're saying, Lord, I have done all that I can do. I can't go any further. Remember Moses. God's people cried out, said, Lord, we're in slavery, Lord. We need deliverance, Lord. Send us a deliverer, Lord. 400 years in bondage, Lord. 2-3 million people in slavery in Egypt. And God sends Moses and God sends 10 plagues. And finally, he breaks through Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh says, take, just get out of here. And they leave Pharaoh, and they leave Egypt, and on the way, they plunder Egypt, saying, get out of here. There's the death of the firstborn, and they take our stuff. Just get out of here. You're a plague on us. And they leave, and they're laden down with the riches of Egypt. And they head out into the desert. And Pharaoh says, I can't let all these people go. I can't let my stuff go. And he gathers his army and begins to chase after God's people. And they chase God's people right up to the edge of the Red Sea. And Moses is going, Lord, I don't got warriors. I got slaves. I've got women. I've got children. We're in disarray. I don't know. I have come to the end of myself. And the Lord says, this is not the end. This is just the beginning. I'm going to do some mighty things through you, Moses. He says, stretch forth your staff. Can I get a witness on that? See, some of you guys got something in your hand. You don't even know its power. It says, stretch forth that staff, and the waters part, and 2-3 million brand new liberated children of God walk across the Red Sea as on dry ground. Can I get a witness on that? Maybe you are here this morning, and I just want to pause for a minute, and you're saying, I am up against it, Pastor. I need supernatural aid from God this morning. I feel that I am at the end, and I'm not doubting God, but I need God to meet me here. In the way that he met Daniel, in the way that he met Moses, I need a fresh touch from the Lord today. Is that you? Is that you? You need a fresh... I want to pray for you. If that's you, and not everybody should stand. If that's not you, I just want you to stand up because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. You're saying, I need a touch from the Lord. Just all over this place, we want to pray for you. Here. Anybody else? Not everybody. But you need a special touch from God. Not everybody. I mean, I want everybody just standing up because everybody's standing up. All right. If you're around somebody that's standing and you're not standing, I just want you to just move and put a hand on somebody. Howard, I want you to pray for that brother in the back for me, if you would. But I just want you to just begin to just move. And somebody that's standing, I want you to just put your hand on. Martin and Julie, you could move to somebody over here and just put a hand on them to pray. Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, as Daniel prayed and said, Lord, we got no place else to go, Lord. We need your spirit poured on us, Lord. We need wisdom, Lord. Lord, for Moses, they needed deliverance. And I do not know what your situation is, but our God says, he says that where two or three are gathered, I'm there among you. You can ask for anything in my name, and you will have it, because I go to the Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you intercede for us with the Father, that you minister, Lord, in the most holy place in heaven, Lord, and that you lift our prayers up. And Lord, for each person here, Lord, that is standing saying, I am at the end, Lord. I am praying a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord, your healing touch, your provision, Lord, your guidance, your deliverance, Lord. And we give you praise, Lord, because you are able to do that. Lord, we give you all honor, all glory, Lord. We know we wait in eager expectations, Lord, for your miraculous provision and miracles, Lord, to be worked among us, Lord. And we give you praise for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. You can be seated. We're good, right?
Amen.
All right. We got one more thing to do here. God reveals truth. God reveals truth. God reveals truth. And the God just revealed to me that it's getting warm in here. And so I don't want anybody, I mean, I try and keep you guys entertained, but I don't want you to go to sleep because it's too warm. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Okay? Check it out. That night, they're having a prayer meeting. And that night, Daniel gets a vision, and Daniel praised the God of heaven. You praise God. You really praise God. He says, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and he changes seasons. Can I add some power there? Amen. Times and seasons. Hallelujah. And he says, power is his. Times and seasons. He sets up kings and he sets them up and he gets rid of them. They are like toys to God. He says he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells with him. He says, I thank you and I praise you, O Lord, the God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Don't you love it when God comes through, folks? Don't just love it when you see the hand of God revealed. We have testimonies come up. See, hear that prophecy come forth yesterday morning. It excites me. Daniel gets the answer to his prayer and a response with adoration and thanksgiving. And I tell you what, folks, sometimes we can just be focused on what we need from God. God, I need this. God, I need this. God, I need this. And my question for you this morning is, when God comes through, do you give him praise? Have you got something that you could praise God for? Say, Lord, right now, just an upstairs hand, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you touched me, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the prophecy yesterday. Is there something that the Lord has spoken to your heart, delivered you? Can you just say, Lord, you are awesome. I give you praise. Just raise a hand right now and say, Lord, we give you praise, Lord. You are mighty. You are awesome, Lord. You have come through me so many times, Lord, and you will come through for me again, Lord, in the future, Lord. And I am banking on you. I am trusting you, Lord, that you're not done with me yet. Hallelujah, Lord, we give you praise. I'm having fun in church today. Anybody else having fun? I'm having fun. See, Daniel's displays the correct response. We've got to come to the Lord with praise on our lips, Lord, because he comes through. Daniel prays a prayer of understanding. He sets up kings and he displaces them. He's like a chess game to him. That's what kingdoms are. That's what kings are. He is the great and mighty king. Daniel knows what he's praying about. Amen. You spend time in prayer? Next Saturday, after Pastor Dave's meeting on Celebrate Recovery at 4, there's a prayer meeting at 5. Some of you need to come to learn how to pray. Yes. I remember, you know, when I was a new Christian, man, I thought, how can you pray for an hour?
Yeah.
I mean, I got like a 3-minute shot here, and I'm good. I'm telling you. It's a time of worship. Lisa sings. Ramiro helps in Spanish. Martin helps. And we seek the face of the Lord, and God meets us. And the more you pray, the more you're going to learn about God. See, Daniel was in prayer, and he says, darkness is not in him. Light lives in him, and he sets up kings, and he gets rid of them. He knows so much about God. Why? Because he's spending time with God. You want to know about God, you need to spend time with God. God sent out his message to Daniel. And God's still sending out messages. God is sending out a message of truth to Nebuchadnezzar, a message of truth to Daniel, and Daniel is listening. And he'll send out a message to you. Some of you, he's already sending out that message. My question is, do you want to hear it? Message that went out yesterday. I'm sending out a message of life. And I'm getting an answer of no. Some of us, the Lord reveals truth. We say, yeah, so what? Lie looks pretty good to me. We don't really want the truth. Last thing we'll look at today. Nebuchadnezzar wants to hear. Maybe you don't want to hear. Nebuchadnezzar wants to hear. King asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me, Daniel, what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel says, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven that who reveals mysteries. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dreams and your visions that pass through your mind as you lay on the bed are these. There is a God in heaven that reveals mysteries. My Lord has shown you what is going to happen in the days to come. And Daniel lays out, as interpreted of history, as interpreted by God. That is a picture of the dream. I have 20 of these up here. After church, you can come and get one if you'd like. Talks about this statue with the head of gold, the arms and chest of silver, the middle of bronze, legs of iron, feet of clay and iron. And it talks about the Babylonian Empire being the head of gold. It talks about the Medo-Persian Empire, which is the arms and chest of silver. Then it talks about the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, coming, the bronze. And then after that, it talks about the Roman Empire being legs of iron. And you know, the Bronze Age you get, that's what Alexander, which made him, his army so powerful, was that those bronze weapons. And then the feet. And in one dream, the Lord sets out 600 years of history. And he says, here you are, king, along with a whole nother list of kingdoms. And the biggest part of this message is my kingdom is going to dwarf y'all. Amen. So you need to come to an understanding of where you fit in the whole plan of things. Nebuchadnezzar gets the message. He says that Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel. This is King Nebuchadnezzar. He had to have permission to even come into his presence. He falls prostrate, basically bows before Daniel. Paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely, and this is, see, this is truth, folks. Surely your God is the God of gods. See, they worshiped a pantheon of gods. He had a treasure house of the gods, of all the gods that he had conquered. And he put them on there on display. And he says, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. And Nebuchadnezzar finds the truth. And he doesn't take it. We'll read in the coming weeks that Nebuchadnezzar knows who's the God of gods, but he's not the God of him. Our God is a revealer of truth. And he calls you in here today so that you might know the truth and the truth would set you free. Amen? Our God is the revealer of mysteries. Our God has a message for you today. My question is, what is He revealing to you today? Because He'll expose the lie. And everybody in here has got a little bit of a lie that you're buying. Some of you, it can be a life-dominating issue, a life-controlling issue. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by His Spirit this morning, is saying, I would deliver you from this. I'm exposing this lie so that you can grasp onto truth. For some of you, you've got a little lie. You moved out of the big lie, but there's a little bit of a lie that's just nibbling on the edge of your life. And for you this morning, the Lord is speaking into your heart and saying, I want you to deal with this. I don't want you buying a big lie, a little lie. I want you moving out of that lie, and I want you to be moving into truth. Pastor Dave grabbed that piece of meat on Friday. And ladies, I'm going to ask you to stay in that back room until I'm done, okay? Thank you. Pastor Dave brought out that meat and he said, we got a problem. The meat is defrosting. And I want to tell you folks that we had a problem before Pastor Dave opened the freezer. We had a problem before we became aware of it. And right now, you have a problem that you are not aware of. And our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to your heart and saying, emergency! You need to move away from this lie and you need to move into truth so that you can find fullness in me. There was a problem before we realized it. And today you have a problem and you don't even realize it except for the message of our Lord as He speaks to your heart and reveals truth to you this morning. Dennis is going to come up and play a little bit. And we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before You.